Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 54, June 26th, 2012. It's Field Day coverage. Hello, everybody. I'm back. I haven't escaped. I'm back. We're in our second home in Springfield this week, and made it through all of our escapades, and we'll share some of that with you. Made Field Day, too, as we're going to find out later. Gordo, nice to see you. We missed you guys. You and Julian, are you there? Let's see where you are.
And we are, and we're back from an exciting field day, and we've got some still pictures to prove it, even some videos. Right, Julian? We got videos?
Yep, absolutely. Loads of videos this week.
So all of you in the chat room and those viewing Ham Nation and those listening to Ham Nation, thanks for sending them in. Julian was overwhelmed, and you'll be overwhelmed when you see what we've got tonight. Bob, back to you.
All right. And then we're going to move down to George, and George is taking a lead from what I did a few months ago. He tore his shack up. Hello, George. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, no shack tonight here. As I mentioned last week, was in the process of removing everything from it. Well, we got it all moved out and put in a storage pod, and I got the old shack moved to the backyard. Got the new one moved in on Friday, and we're in the process now of finishing it out. I've got the wiring done, the insulation, and basically we're doing the walls now and the ceiling, so it's been a tough week.
I got a question for you. You didn't have Tommy and the guys come over with their blowtorch to help you take your old shack down, did you?
No, Tommy came over on Saturday. Just to have a look. I wouldn't let Jim anywhere near it. And my friend Wayne showed up. He thought we were doing field day, and we weren't, because the shack was all in boxes. So he kind of got hornswoggled into doing a little work while he was here.
Well, I'm glad that you could make it. I wasn't sure when you told me you wouldn't have a shack. I figured, well, you can go to a Starbucks or something, but you're at home, and that's great. I mean, you're even going to do a smoke and solder tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to try it live, and as you know, it's kind of tough to do, but we'll struggle through it one way or another, and maybe it'll work.
Yeah.
Well, I know it will. And then we're going to go down to Don. Don, I hear you were at not only field day. What else did you do on field day? And it's nice to see you. Missed all you guys.
It's nice to see you. Yeah, we missed you as well. Yeah, field day, I went to, drove into New Orleans for field day with an old club that I used to belong to for many years. In fact, they're getting ready to celebrate their 60th anniversary. And I'm a past president of that club, so I went back to play field day with them. And then came home and sat around for about an hour, I guess, and cooled off. And then got in the old car and went to a car club cruise night. So I'm a little bit sunburned tonight, but having a good time. And it's good to see you back and good to see everybody else. Hello, everyone.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sitting in, all of you. You do such a great job. Actually, I think you do better with me gone than when I'm here. You keep it together much better than I am. I'm pretty loose, you know.
Always happy to help.
You guys understand. Well, you got to understand, man, I grew up living with the Grateful Dead and the Who and Walsh. So when you talk about loose, oh, gosh, well, what can I tell you? Hey, by the way, anybody that watching, if you're Joe Walsh fans, if you missed Sunday night, he did a live CMT, and it's probably on a replay somewhere. He and Brad Paisley, they're kicking off his new album, Analog Man. It was really cool. Really good. Well, I had quite a couple of weeks running around doing things. And one of them, we were called back to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They were going to do some videos. We had a couple that won a contest that got a free trip to the Rock Hall. And I know it's not amateur radio, but a lot of us are musicians, and you're interested in music. And if you've never been there, you really need to go. So I took a little bit of video, and I'm going to narrate over it. So, Alex, crank that little video up, and let's run through some of the exciting things at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The building is spectacular. It was designed by the same people that built the wonderful thing in France and the Louvre there, and it's great. And just happened that the tour bus from Johnny Cash was there. That's the actual tour bus. We got to go in it. It's Grateful Dead, really a couple of months. They do special things, and we were there for that. And here I signed into the wall. I had signed it in 2006, but they wanted me to sign it again. So, and that you recognize, of course, as ZZ Top's Eliminator. It's right at the front door when you come in. That's a very famous car that they did. And that is Janis Joplin's car. It's got the Big Brother and the Holding Company's picture on the side there on the fender. Just wonderful, wonderful things. And these are the real deals. These aren't replicas. Those are hanging. That was used in a U2 tour not too long ago. And up above those is they are from that's from the wall. Roger Waters and the Wall. Those are actual, some of the characters are used in the wall. Up on the sixth floor is the Sirius Studio. The vintage vinyl is done from there each day. And, of course, all PR40s. And we're very honored to have our microphones. And they've been in there now 6 or 7 years. And there's the console and stuff, the guide, all of that. But they're on the air every day from that studio. Really a great place. We did some interviews there with Dusty Street. And then this is when we walk in to the front of the museum, and they open the door to amazing things. Here's Michael Jackson. These are the real things, man. These aren't replicas. These are things that he actually wore and that you saw on albums. That is Katy Perry's dress. Those things have little motors on them, and they turn while she was performing. And that, my goodness, that's old Flavor Flav's necklace, his clock that he wore all the time. And that, hey, look at that, man. You guys kid me about my shoes. That was Jerry Garcia's, one of the pair of pants that Jerry had. And then, oh, the funnest place is Les Paul's room. And it's all about things he did. When he was a kid, he took his mom's telephone and put it on a broomstick and tied it onto a concrete block. That was his first microphone. He should have been a ham. He did all these ingenious things. And everybody said, well, you got to have a body. He said, no, you don't. You just need a pickup, the little red wire there, and you need a string. And that's what he did. And he put it on a railroad tie to prove to everybody you don't need the body. So then he built this guitar, and the body of it's nothing. And he's got that solid 4x4 trunk in it. And that was his first solid body electric guitar. And, of course, then it evolved to the famous Les Paul. The guitar you're looking at belongs to me, really. Pete Townsend, I built that for him. I always had 24 guitars that he'd usually end up smashing. That one he didn't. And after one of the shows that we did back in 1972, he gave that guitar to me, and I've had it all this time. And he's a gracious guy, and I loaned it to the Rock Hall, so you can see one of Pete's guitars. There's some more of the Who display. That's a smoking jacket that Roger always wore running around the dressing rooms. And, of course, the display. This was that's the mixer that IES and I built in London for Quadrophenia. That's one of the actual rear channel speakers. And there's a little mixer on top of it. That's one of the first mini mixers back in 1973 that I built. That's the Echoplex over on the ride. It's actually the the German vintage of that. And there's some ZZ Top stuff. That Sun Mixer was what we did Who's Next with. And there up in the top is the first talk box that Joe and I built, and I gave one of those to Frampton. And, of course, Gordo, they had to check out my purple shoes. So that was a pretty good rush through hundreds of displays at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You just have to go there if you get anywhere close to Cleveland. Or if you don't, make it a great vacation. There's a lot of stuff to do in Cleveland. It was also Marines Week there. Marines are all over the place. But that's where I was, guys. I just had to let you know that I wasn't just sitting around somewhere. I actually had things to do, and it was a lot of fun. And I'm sorry I missed the show, but thanks for filling in, and I appreciate that. Don, you did a wonderful job, and I appreciate you being there. And have you been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Don? You got all those guitars behind you. You been there?
I have not. I listen to Dusty Street on classic vinyl almost every day, but have not been there. I've been to the Stax Recording Studio Museum in Memphis, and I've been to the Rock and Soul Museum in Memphis. I've been to the Gibson Guitar Factory in Memphis, and of course Graceland, but I've never been up to Cleveland yet. I've got to go up there one of these times.
You got to go. Dusty Absolutely. Street, she's a wonderful gal. Great DJ. But did you know this? That is her real name on her driver's license, Dusty Street.
And she's a killer. She's been around forever. She's really good.
She went to grade school with Pigpen of the Grateful Dead. And there's a really cool picture of her outside the studio door Grateful Dead display of her and Pigpen back about 1965 or whatever. But anyway, she's got stories. It was really wonderful to be there and see the Alan Freed studio. And that could be a real good question for you sometime, George. I wonder how many people know why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ended up to be built in Cleveland.
Don't Everyone knows that because this. Cleveland rocks.
Yes.
Just ask Joe.
Yeah. No, we know the answer. We're not going to tell, though, just in case.
Okay. I just wonder if how many people know why it was chosen. And it wasn't money. Of course, that they had to raise that, but why was it chosen? There were four cities, and that one won, but there's a reason for it. It has to do with radio. But anyway, we had a lot of fun, and we're glad to be back. So I guess what we should do is start getting the real business here. Gordo, you guys went to Field Day, and you did probably all kinds of fun things out there. Did you dust off your radios okay? Everything back working okay? And no parts missing?
Everything is back working again. And you know, at Field Day, I was a six-meter guy, and I had the opportunity to check out a brand-new antenna from Europe, the Innov antenna. We were going to mount it on the van, and, well, we did. But a 30-foot boom, seven elements, it was a monster. So, Alex, if you could roll the six-meter attempt, and then we'll tell you what did not work on 6 meters due to no fault of the antenna. Yep, we could take it apart, and we got it stuck in the dune buggy, drove it on over there. That's my 10 gigahertz dish as well. And then after the dune buggy, we then got it all set up there on the ground, only lost a few screws, nuts, and bolts. Everything was metric on this European antenna. We then worked with the feed point, and the feed point is the key for this great antenna. And the feed point comes back on it. Itself looks like a perfect 50 ohm match, and we got the feed point adjusted. Then it was mounting the antenna to the flagpole mast. Yep, you can actually get an antenna up in the air on some of these RV flagpoles. This one is metal, not aluminum. And there it is, as we swing it up in place, the 30-foot boom on a van that's smaller than that was up and playing on the 6-meter band, big time. And it was, of course, an Armstrong rotator to get the antenna to turn. The match was perfect. Background noise was great. We tuned and we tuned and we listened intently on both CW as well as digital as well as voice, and the band on 6 meters did not open to Southern California. In fact, I'm not even sure it opened to the West Coast. We did have a brief opening. We worked every Texas station we could within about 20 minutes on 6 meters. But we're going to be interested in the chat room to see what they had as an experience. InnoVantenna is the name, and we were very pleased with its operation, and it went up just once and stayed up, even though we had a little wind. But nothing like the wind on the next 4 shots that was experienced near Yellowstone National Park. Alex, if you'll roll the next series of shots, Chip Margelli, K7JA, and Janet, Ham Radio Outlet, KL7MF, they went all the way up there to Wyoming, and Wyoming. This is one of their antennas up and rolling. Boy, look at that great view that they had. And there they're flying the colors, and they have the American Radio Relay League. And ARRL was great to show all the locations for those field day stations that said, here's where we're going to be. And well, as you can see, there was a lot of wind involved, and they had a thunderstorm the night before. The wind was 40 to 60 miles per hour, and the next morning, well, just, that's what happened to one of their steel masts, not aluminum, but steel, and it had a severe bend to it. But, you know, Bob, that's what field day is all about, and always something on the next morning for field day. That antenna is still standing, but it has a new polarization for working a little sky wave. So that's some of the excitement that takes place, and we're hoping that the chat room will be coming in with all sorts of videos. Now, Julian, have you got?
Yeah, look, you got to get it with new technology. All this steel stuff is fine, but let's think about iPads, okay? I know there's a show for iPads, but look what Kevin Reeve did. His N7RXE, he shot this with an iPad and edited it on iMovie. This is his field day. Roll it, Alex.
Hello, everyone. This is Kevin Reeve, N7RXE, with a report from the Bridgeland Amateur Radio Club's field day. Up in the mountains of northern Utah at about 7,600 feet, we had a beautiful field day site.
This is how we put antennas up.
Ted MacArthur, AC7II, and his super secret spud gun for launching antenna support systems way up in the trees. You can watch the launch here.
Ooh-ah!
And you can see it again in slow motion. Pretty darn impressive.
I would say so.
This is the radio waves folded dipole. It's the first time we've used one of these at field day. And we had about 7 antennas in the air this year. We ran a 5 alpha field day site, but we wanted to test various antennas. So this was a new test of a folded dipole. We're very fortunate to have a great relationship with the Cache County Sheriff's Office, so they allow us to use the mobile command post for our field day site, and it works really, really good. Has air conditioning and a heater in it. Kind of makes operating in the hot summer sun really nice. This is the MFJ 43-foot vertical antenna that Theo K7TWT brought. Something brand new for him. He wanted to give it a try. Our ladies group is really, really active. These are licensed amateur radio operators building parts for their grab-and-go kit. Here they were working with 12-volt adapters and Anderson power poles and alligator clips to make sure they had all the right connections for their grab-and-go kits. We had about a dozen ladies participate this year with this activity. It isn't field day without a fun bunny hunt. And we had 2 hidden transmitters, thanks to Gary Roberts, AG1T. And there were many folks who went out looking for those bunnies. And at night, it's the 6 o'clock potluck dinner. This year we had barbecue beef and chicken and all the trimmings. And as you can see, what took precedence during dinner time, it was food, not radios.
6 meters open during that lunchtime.
Well, our field day was a great success. We had about 60 to 70 people who participated over the course of a few days. Some went up early and started camping Wednesday and Thursday, others even earlier as they reserved the site for us to make sure we had a pristine location. Anyway, that's an overview of the Bridgeland Amateur Radio Club 2012 field day. This is N7RXE, Kevin Reeve, 73.
All right, so as you can see, Kevin and his group had a really good time. And that's the kind of video that we're looking for. It was shot on an iPad 3, so not very difficult to do, iMovie. Then all he did is he posted it to YouTube, sent me the link, and everything's good to go. And Alex, I think you've got a little message there for describing where people can go for the video guidelines, which we've set up for Ham Nation. So go to www.frozen-in-time.com/guide. So frozen-in-time.com/guide, and you'll get to see the video guides, and it'll tell you how to get videos up to us and how we get them back up to the Twit studio. So do that, and we look forward to seeing more of your videos. Back over to you, Bob.
Julian, that is really wonderful what you did. Everybody should go look at that. It tells you how to do good videos. You don't want to do them like Gordo and I do. But the really good ideas and the suggestions of what to do. And here's how you do a decent video. And, of course, George does excellent videos. You don't have to read that, George, so you forget it. You guys are there. And I have to say one thing. Maybe Kevin can come and help Gordo and I learn how to do that. That's probably what we should do, is have him on here some night. We'll tell him, what do you think, Gordo? I mean, we need help, don't you know?
We do need help, and I'm sure the chat room and those watching will set the pace, and Julian will ultimately let us get a real video on Ham Nation. Back to you, Bob.
I got an iPad in there, but I don't know what to do with it. Oh, well. Anyway, fun stuff, and what a gorgeous thing. Kevin, that was great. And the club was great. What a great idea with the ladies. That was super, super duper. Everything was good. And I like I said, while you guys went out to eat, 6 meters opened. You probably didn't know that, but that's what happens. It was wide open for about, almost an hour.
Yeah, during the chow.
Yeah, that's right. Don, you had some rightly things going on down there in Cajun country, too. What happened for you guys on field day?
Sure did. I went down to the Westside Amateur Radio Club's field day effort in Harvey, Louisiana, and shot some still pictures. And this is all done on an iPhone, including the voiceover using iMovie. And the video that I shot and showed last week was all done on the iPad. So it's very easy to do. And so let's go ahead and roll my slides about field day 2012. Go ahead, Alex.
Welcome to W5ABD field day 2012. Always nice to have a place to get out of the heat, get the AC kicking, and this little camper trailer was absolutely perfect. So, always nice to have that. Now, we were set up at a church, and we had access to the inside, but still, you don't want to wear out your welcome. You want to be a good neighbor. You want to track stuff in and out. So, it was nice to have the trailer. When we needed the inside, we had it, but still. Now, these little easy-up tents are absolutely the best. Don't forget to bring your tables and chairs, either. You got to have a nice, comfortable, shady place to operate, especially in the South. And you can't have too many hands on deck when it comes to antenna erection. These military surplus masts work very well for hanging wire antennas. Wire antennas are easy to erect. They are excellent performers. And remember, this is an emergency drill. So you want to get stuff up and on the air just as fast as you can, and nothing beats wires. Speaking of wires, overhead power wires. Always be aware of your overhead hazards. Stay clear, stay away. You don't want to have to call 911. Now, luckily, the church had a nice open area, and we were able to stick those wire antennas up in the sky without any issues from overhead hazards. There's one of the wires. Here's the other one with the SGC tuner on top. It worked great, made some nice contacts, even though band conditions weren't absolutely the best. Now, Mike, KB5OZE, loves to camp. He brought out his two camping stations. This is a Yaesu FT-857 packet TNC power supply, everything needed to get on the air. And this one was our main operating position. This is a Kenwood TS-2000. Got a Heil microphone, some nice headphones, power supply, wires, everything you need to get on the air. And here we see Mike, KB5OZE, setting up the Kenwood our main operating station. This made for a very nice and very comfortable place to operate. The audio, of course, was excellent with that Heil microphone. He had a nice hand switch. It made for a great operating position. Now, the W5ABD station was 2 Alpha, and here you can see the two stations. We were separated a little bit, so we weren't stepping on each other's toes, but still close enough to remain nice and cozy. Computers make great loggers. Somebody forgot to load the program, so paper logs had to do. Here are a few of my contacts. My writing not the best, so hopefully they can read that. Now, of course, always remember to practice proper RF safety, and Steve N5SC just eats that stuff up, as you can see. We had a lot of fun. Thanks for watching. Hope you made a lot of great field day contacts. 73 from South Louisiana.
And that's the Westside Amateur Radio Club in on the west bank of the Mississippi River across from New Orleans. They're going to have a special event station coming up fairly soon for their 60th anniversary. And I was fortunate enough to be president of that club a couple of separate times. So I'll get you information on the special event station, and I'm sure they'll have a nice 60th anniversary certificate. I designed the 50th anniversary certificate for them and still have one around here somewhere. And I'm going to hopefully try to operate some of that special event station, if not make some contacts myself. So there you go. A little something from South Louisiana. Bob, back to you.
That was great. That was good. And did you do that on your iPhone, did you say, or was that on your iPad?
That was completely done on the iPhone, including the pictures, all done with iMovie, and the voiceover, just holding the iPhone up in front of me and narrating it as the picture scrolled by. All done on the iPhone. It's very easy to shoot video these days. There's no excuse not to be able to shoot video now.
That's great. Well, it looked great, and you looked like you guys had a really good time. And, you know, part of field day is making the public aware. So those shirts you had that said emergency communications, it draws people in, and you want to get the TV stations in, and that's what it's all about. It's awareness of what amateur radio does in emergencies, and we're going to talk more about that when we get into the Joplin thing here in a little bit. Gordo, you have some things too you need to bring about over the past week or two. You've gotten some nice emails, and let's get into that and see what you got going there.
All right. Well, the emails, the majority of them are saying, give us the news. They've heard, Bob, that we have been promoted to a new day, and we're one of the top four at the TWIT studio lineup. So I'm going to let you spill the beans and answer all these emails saying, tell us how you did it and when we'll tune you in next. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, we're all very blessed to have this network time. Leo Laporte does so much for amateur radio just by giving us this time. It's expensive. And all of the people back that you hear us, you see us in the beginning with Alex and all of the guys back there, there's many people behind things that you don't see. These are all people on payrolls. And he does all this for ham radio, his love of ham radio. Well, things are moving around in his network because his network is growing so fast. So they're going to change the day of Ham Nation, and we're going to move it to Wednesday. And the reason is they're going to put a lineup of his some of his top shows on Wednesday. And it starts off as the security with Steve Gibson, which is an incredible show, by the way, of all kinds of security, your home, your computer, whatever needs security. Steve's a master. And then they're going to have the Twig show this week in Google Androids and all that. That happens after it. Then the big show, Triangulation. If you haven't seen Triangulation, you want to check that out, especially number 8. That's when I was invited to go meet Leo for the very first time. Leo and Tom Merritt do this show where they invite the third person, thus Triangulation, and they talk about all kinds of things. They have people in from all walks of life. It's very interesting. That show will precede then Ham Nation. So you're going to have four of their top shows on Wednesday. And time is the same, and Wednesday is the same. Now, one of the things as we've been checking this out that I've had it throughout the year that we've been on, I don't know why this happens, but the majority of amateur radio club meetings are on Tuesday night. Have you noticed that, Gordon? Have you got any notes about that?
Oh, yeah. That's what they were saying was, thank goodness you're on Wednesday, because either have nets, Mars nets or military nets, and Wednesday will be the day. And I'm just delighted that we were among the top four to stay on the TWiT network. So it means we're really drawing a great audience. And audience, you're part of the show. And in a few more moments, Julian will again tell you where to send those short videos of your particular setup. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah. We're very honored and blessed with that. Ham Radio is just so indebted to everybody there, Lisa and Liz and everybody. I'm going to leave people out, so I can't start that, I guess. And, of course, W6TWT himself, we thank you for that, and we look forward to increasing the audience on Wednesday. So that'll be great. So pass the word, everybody. This will be our last Tuesday night. Because next Wednesday, it starts in July, this new lineup for TWiT. All of the programs are moved around, by the way, so you'll have to watch and see where all your other favorite programs are on the network. But next Wednesday is July the 4th, and rightfully so, everyone in Petaluma gets a day off. So there'll be no programs on next Wednesday. But the TW. How about that? All right. So what we're going to do is we will see you on the 11th. So pass that around on all your nets and anybody you talk to. We're here and we're stronger and we're happier and we're going to be on days where more of us can be there. So that's really cool. Wednesday the 11th is the next show. So we appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing many things going to happen. One other little thing. Maybe shouldn't let this out of the box, drive Lisa nuts, but they're getting ready to do Ham Nation baseball caps, T-shirts, and stickers. Now, don't go swarming Petaluma with emails, win, win, win. They're working on it. It's going to happen, and we will let you know here. So just stand by. We're going to have a whole bunch of things, bumper stickers and especially baseball caps and shirts. They're going to be real high quality things, though, as all of the items in Leo's store is. If you haven't seen the TWiT store, you might want to go watch and see what's going on there. So we're going to move down and see what's happening on Newsline, because there's a lot of other news around amateur radio, not just the fact that Ham Nation's going to be on Wednesday. Don, let's see what's going on the outside world.
So I'm going to actually have a Ham Nation hat to go along with my Heil Sound hat and my ICOM hats and everything else. That's going to be great. Yep. I can hardly wait.
Yep.
Oh, that's excellent. Wow, you made my night. Very good.
Yep.
Well, let's get into the news. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1819, here are your Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, June 26th, 2012. Space weather reports that a geomagnetic storm occurred in the wake of the sun's double coronal mass ejection, or CME, impact that happened June 16th. The hit, which strongly compressed the Earth's magnetic field, lit up both poles with bright auroras. Here in the U.S. and Canada, the northern lights descended as far south as Oregon, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Washington State, and the Dakotas. And as we in Ham Radio know, this CME also made for some rather interesting conditions on the air, particularly on 50 megahertz and above. The National Institute of Standards and Technology is currently testing phase modulation in addition to the existing amplitude modulation on time standard station WWVB. The AM signal continues while the phase modulation is being tested, so there shouldn't be any interruption in service to existing AM devices. But the NIST warns that phase lock loop AM devices might lose signal lock at times during the tests. But have no fear, the experiment will end prior to the all-important June 30th leap second correction. You don't want to miss that. Super Antenna Corporation, maker of the legendary MP1 portable vertical and YP3 portable Yagi, is back in business. Super Antenna was began in 2000 by Vern Wright, W6MMA, and as some of you may know, the company ceased operations a few years ago to sort out what it termed as legal issues. Well, June 18th, my wife's birthday, Super Antenna issued a press release stating that the new company has already began shipping the MP1 portable vertical and the YP3 portable Yagi. Both, it claims, have been re-engineered to a higher standard of performance. Super Antenna also has announced a new website where ham radio operators can get information on Super Antenna products. You'll find that at newsuperantenna.com. And just for the record, that is the antenna that I showed on my little video last week, the Super Antenna MP1. Mine's the old version. Hams and Broadcasting is a new online VOIP group that connects those in the broadcasting industry with one another worldwide. The system interconnects IRLP Conference Bridge 9615, Echolink Conference 96150, and All-Star Node 27405 for 24-hour-a-day communication and chatting between hams in the broadcast field. There are a couple of nets that meet on the bridge every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, the general Hams in Broadcast net. It's normally hosted by Bruce Schiller, WA2ZST. He works for the CBS network in New York City. Also, there's a twice a month SBE, Hams on the Air, and SBE stands for Society of Broadcast Engineers. You can find out more at the websites listed in the print edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. Some names in the news. Chris Stahlkamp, W0ADZ, has been appointed as ARRL South Dakota Section Manager effective June 15. ARRL Membership and Volunteer Programs Manager Dave Patton, NN1N, made the appointment in consultation with Dakota Division Director Greg Wyden, K0GW, and with the recommendation of outgoing South Dakota Section Manager Scott Roush, WA0VKC. Roush had served as South Dakota Section Manager since April 2009. He decided not to run for another term of office that was scheduled to begin on April 1st. After a resolicitation for nominations this spring resulted in no potential candidates, Stahlkamp was appointed to take the section manager reins from Roush. Stahlkamp's appointment extends until March 31st, 2014. And congratulations to Paul Giffen, VA7MPG, who was recently elected section manager for Radio Amateurs of Canada's British Columbia and Yukon section. This for the balance of his appointed term that ends October 30th, 2013. VA7MPG ran unopposed, eliminating the need for a balloted election. And that'll do it from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for nearly 35 years at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, heavily caffeined. And we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Wow. That was a lot of news. And, hey, guess who just walked into the shack who said, I know all about the wind up in Wyoming. Chip K7JA, come on over here. And how windy was it at your and Janet's operating location?
Well, Gordo, it was extremely windy. I don't know, where am I going here? I just got off the airplane and yes, it was extremely windy. We had a beautiful sunset Friday night after we had everything set up, this massive array of antennas, and then the beautiful sunset turned ugly and we got some furious winds, massive lightning overhead. I was trying to hold up one mast and it started to sizzle, and so I backed away from that guy, and then we bailed off the hill because it was so dangerous, and we came back up the next morning and all but one of the antennas had either bent over, as you saw earlier, or blown down, and so we had to set up field day twice, which was a lot of fun, but we survived it. That's what field day is all about, learning to make it survive, and it was a great effort.
All right. Well, welcome back among the living.
Thanks, Gordo.
From Wyoming. Okay, Bob, back to you. And you never know who's going to drop into our shack. Go ahead, Bob.
You got it. Hey, while we're at it on the news, we need to talk about the fires going on in Colorado. Amanda and Jeff aren't with us tonight because they were called out yesterday, or maybe the day before, by the ARES crew, and they're out fighting fires, well, of course, with their radios. And so we want to really think about Jeff and Amanda, because the fires are close at hand there, and they have a whole team out there helping to try to coordinate some of the communications. And Gordo, have you got any last-minute news from that scene?
We could hear some traffic on 75 meters out here in California, and boy, the hams are really taking a proactive role in working MCOMs for the fires in Colorado. So we certainly applaud Amanda and her husband and all of those hams that are helping those fire personnel with communications. And a lot of the comms going back to the fire personnel's family, that Dave says he's tired, but he's fine and he's happy. And you know, that's what keeps the spirit up of those brave firefighters on the lines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and in the same vein of things, I was very happy that last Saturday I went to Joplin and was able to visit with some of my friends there. And Larry, a lot of you guys work VHF, probably know Larry very well, N0MST. He's been on VHF for years, and he's got a big signal on 2 and 6 meters. But he took me then over to the site of the Joplin Amateur Radio Club. But doing that, if you remember here on the show, just a day or so after all that happened, we had Bruce on, and he had live video, if you recall, from that. And here we got to see some of the very same places that we saw with all the rubble. But let's check this out. Again, these are some pictures that I took. So let's start off with that Walgreens store. Sarah and I drove through that very intersection about 3 or 4 days after the storm, and it was just rubble. Everything was down. And look at that. In this short time, they've rebuilt the entire place. There's a donut shop. Now, what you see in front of it there, as we're headed for, those were all businesses for about a mile. They're gone. It's nothing but telephone poles and light poles anymore. And then the hospital. It absolutely destroyed the hospital. And they're in position there now, just a little bit there, but I've been over a few feet. They've got wrecking balls and they're tearing it down because they're building a brand new hospital on a new location. And again, there's another neighborhood. Those were all houses. And well, we couldn't even get through there because that road was, you couldn't tell the rubble from the houses from the road. It was awful. And now look at it. It's cleared and they're starting to rebuild homes. And so then we got to go visit the Joplin Amateur Radio Club. The spirits are incredibly high, and they had a 3A set up, and it was really cranking. And the president, Ray Brown, had an 820. Look at that, guys. Had an 820, good old J38 key, and he had put up a loop, and he was making it happen. And they also had an 897 on one of the little TW antennas. There's the 820. Look at that. Isn't it great shape? It was just working great. And I was so happy to see these vintage pieces of gear out on field day. And I saw this antenna coming up in your yard years ago, if you remember, Gordon. That's one of the TW antennas. And they had it out on an 897. But then they also had a little satellite network and, of course, just a pair of handy talkies working the satellite. And that was really fun to see all the stations set up. And then the two guys got together some time ago, Jim and Bob. Jim, actually it was Bob, came up with this idea of this launcher. You saw one earlier in the video. Well, the Joplin Club came up with a kit, and it was covered in CQ Magazine, this last edition, and you can order it. There it is. It all you do is take your bicycle pump and pump up a few pounds. You don't want just 3 or 4 pumps, and you saw what happened. Boy, you can put it over a tree, and there was the article in this month's CQ. You can go order that from the Joplin Radio Club. I think it's like $35 or $40. What a great thing, because we can help the club and you now can get your antenna launcher to really work. Some of the slingshots aren't too hot, but this thing really plays. And I thought it was just really cool. And they put up their big loop with it. In fact, I helped them pull up the last leg after they shot that that last launcher, and up she went. It was so cool. And so I'm really excited about what's going on in Joplin, and all of us can help Joplin by going in and getting one of their launchers. My goodness. So check it out. You can check it on their website too, just the Joplin Amateur Radio Club. You can order it off there. But anyway, how much fun was that? Gordon and I am sure you remember some of those pictures that that Bruce had. That was just horrible. It was awful. Wow. But look how it cleaned up, huh?
Pretty well, neat. That's so great. And I sure hope everybody will grab that issue of CQ Magazine and order that launcher and help support the Joplin Ham Radio Club. So congratulations. I know you made their day, Bob, by coming on scene. And they certainly made our day by showing how a ham radio can regroup. A ham radio club can regroup and really pull off a great field day. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah, well, we're so happy that they're doing well. And I also visited the Springfield, one of the Springfield clubs here. I'll have some more of that next week. They had an interesting thing that we'll talk about. So, George, what happened on field day down there? Now, you said you didn't allow James to come, or you did? Did he bring his blowtorch? What'd you guys do on field day?
I did not see him, and since we had just moved the new shack on the property here and began working on it, I didn't want him anywhere near here with the blowtorch. Actually, on field day, my buddy Wayne came over thinking that we were going to go do field day. And instead, we ended up running wiring in the new shop and hanging insulation. So just about as hot as if we had been at field day. And you know, all my shack is in boxes right now, including my video gear. So I really didn't have a bench to do smoke and solder this week. But you mentioned something to me here that sounded like a great idea and something we need to take a look at that some hams may not consider on the PL-259. If you look at the connectors here, and I don't know how hard this is going to be to do live, but, you know, they've got these little edges right here. There's two little pins, one on either side of the connector here on the ring around the outside, that are supposed to mate with the female side of the connector. And on the female side, you know, we've got all these little notches around here. And if you're not careful, when you put the connector in there, you could end up with the little notches not lining up. See, if you don't have them turned correctly, you've got that little space in there and the connector doesn't seat good. So turn that cable till it sits down all the way, then screw the ring up on it. And once it feels like it's tight, reach back here on the back of the connector and give that wire a couple of turns. And kind of rock it till you know that it's falling down in the slot there and you've got a good, clean connection. Otherwise, you might have a loose ground there. Does that sound reasonable to you, Bob?
Yep, and then I'm reaching for something. You need to at least get a pair of these guys and tighten the rings up. A lot of people just tighten them with their fingers and figured, oh, that's good enough. Moving things around and vibrations, whatever. Tighten that connector. You don't have to get crazy, but make sure it's tight. That's very important, to tighten that connector. Yeah, good job, George.
Yeah, if that thing's not tight and you move your rig over a little bit, you'll break the ground loose. And you wonder why your SWR is high. You've got a good antenna, good coax, but something's not just right. And there's a chance that that could be what you've got going on. Well, last week, we announced on our contest, we talked about resistors, and I had a question here. These three resistors in parallel here, what would be the R total between points A and B there? And our winner, who knew the correct formula and to use a reciprocal there to calculate it with, came up with the answer, and he said, oh, gee, what did he say? I didn't write it down. Oh, well, 91.46 ohms, I believe, was the correct answer. And Richard K8RMM answered the question correctly, and he won this copy of Jerry Buston's great Constructing HF Wire Antennas. Now, next week, my shack will probably still be in boxes, but we're going to have a contest anyway. I've got another one of these great little MFJ 24-hour LCD clocks that will be given away. And, Bob, I believe we'll answer the question that you posed earlier, and that is, out of all the cities in the world, why is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland? And there's a good reason for that. So if you think you know the answer, email it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win the MFJ 24-hour clock.
I really would like to have one of those clocks, but I'm not going to answer that. Wouldn't be quite fair, would it? that's great. You know, all right. Let's see how that works. That'll be great. Before you get away, we've had a few questions about this. And also I wanted to mention, tell everybody what a hidden transmitter hunt is. A lot of the guys and gals might not know what a hidden transmitter, what do we do there?
Well, a lot of times we call that a fox hunt. And what we'll do is take a little low-power transmitter and hide it outdoors generally somewhere in a tree, under a bench, just anywhere. And then a group of hams will get together, and each will have their own directional antenna. And generally this, I would say probably most people do this on VHF or UHF frequencies, where your antenna doesn't have to be so big to be directional. And we go around and we try to find the direction that we're picking up the strongest signal and hunt down that fox or, you know, the hidden transmitter. And whoever gets there first wins. And if you've got two buddies, you can get one on this side and he can aim in, and the guy on the other side can get over there and aim in as well. And you can kind of triangulate it and pinpoint it a little bit quicker.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it? They're always so much fun. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I know we're going to get some questions in the chat room because there were things in that video about it. That's great. Well, we're going to go back and let Julian show you another video of an incredible station. Super duper. Julian, let's see that video you have and see what's going on in Minnesota, huh?
All right. Yeah, actually, this is a video we got actually several months ago, but what with our scheduling, we weren't able to show it. So, Larry, listen up. You're on the air. This is going to be Larry Shantz, WD0AKX. As you say, he's in Minnesota, and he has a great shack. But more than that, he's also showing us what happens after Ham Nation. We always have these nets that go on. So here you can see Larry checking into one of the after show nets. Alex, do you want to roll that video?
Going to try to check in to the Ham Nation post show net on 7268 kilohertz on 40 meters tonight. And they always have a few nets going on after the show on Twit TV.
Good evening. This is George, 55 Juliet Delta X-ray from Smoke and
Solder.
George from Smoke and Solder.
Great to hear everyone on the net tonight. We always have a good time on the show. Appreciate you rounding me up and everyone who watches. And we'll look to join you again next week when we've got another great one coming up. 73 75 JDX. George. Stations you'd like to check in, call now.
Whiskey Delta Zero Alpha Kilo X-ray.
Okay, this is KYLTJ. I actually copied two stations ending in Kilo X-ray.
Yeah, there goes his tongue. Watch that.
Kilo X-ray in Minnesota.
I think he heard it.
Roger, roger. This is Whiskey Delta Zero Alpha Kilo X-ray, WD0AKX. Name is Larry, and I'm in Albert Lea, Minnesota. And it was a great show tonight. Haven't missed an episode. Over.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, I watched your show and enjoyed it too. And the mic, did you copy that? Larry, that's a Whiskey Delta Zero Alpha Delta X-ray. Is that correct?
Alpha Kilo X-ray. Alpha Kilo X-ray.
Okay, Whiskey Delta Zero Alpha Kilo X-ray. Mike, do you have that to
your mind? Got it.
Yeah, and Larry, you got a great signal here in Connecticut.
Fine, and dropped into your rep. I want to hear about it. And anything other than that as well. So please write in to me.
And that's Amanda.
If you guys are lucky enough, your story will be read on the show, on the air then. And with that, this is Kilo 1, Delta Delta November. Amanda here. Any other check-ins, any other comments, why don't you come now? Well, Mikey, I think you're garlic capital of the world there.
WT6H, K1LTJ, I'm still here, Mike, and Amanda, you're...
Oh, that was great. And, you know, our valued net controllers, Mike and Bill and Joe and all of the great net controllers after the show, keep this show humming. Bob, back to you.
Check this out.
Oh, aha! Yeah.
Yeah, I talk to Larry quite often on 40, 75, so on.
Uh-huh.
Great station he has. Oh, man, that's really, really nice. I only wish I could assimilate that here. My goodness. Good job, Larry. And, I already got mine set up here on 7268 and the other one on 14268. And we'll see how some of those new dipoles I have out there are going to work. We're making progress here. I'm going to tell you all about it. I get a lot of emails and like, okay. But every week you'll see things happen here, and we're eventually going to make it. I got all the coaxes buried this week, Gordo, 15 of them. You think that's too many?
Those gophers will have a great time, but I'm sure you're using non-contaminating jacket, and the gophers just hate non-contaminating jackets, huh?
Yep. You have to make sure when you buy the coax that you can bury it, and so we're going to get that going. Well, we want to switch our whole network to Northern Illinois, where I understand... Gordo, you happen to talk to them on field day. So let's go see what's going on with Cheryl. How are you, Cheryl, up in Northern Illinois tonight?
Hi. Greetings, everyone. Hello to the entire chat room. Great to see you in there, everyone. Hi, Bob. Yeah, actually, for the K9 Ocean Radio Station for field day at the North Shore Radio Club where David and I were, David was on 15 meters, and Gordo said, "I recognize that voice." He says, "Yeah, it's me. It's me." And he said his call sign, K9LPK, and it was David and so on. So that was a nice surprise to get California out of northeastern Illinois, where he was really excited about that. Of course, I went out to get hot coffee at the time and missed that one, if you can believe it. But I have some other things in store to possibly get some video edited and out for the very next Ham Nation show, even though it's not as close to field day. I need a little more time to get that nice for everybody. But in the meantime, Bob, you had mentioned that your install with your antennas was all done. And I want to go back to, like, I think it was 3 Ham Nation episodes ago where you talked about how you installed things. And I had some viewers actually write in to me with some suggestions for you as some alternate choices to add on to what you already did. So I have my sample here, believe it or not.
Lovely.
Here it is. And what this is your flange that you mentioned. And there's a product by Duck. It's called Duck Seal by Gardner Bender. It stays wet. It's packaged like this. And it's sold by weight. It's a 1-pound pack, actually. So this gray stuff here doesn't allow any moisture to come through here. I think there's 18 cables in here for the various bands, and also a 6-gauge wire for the ground, as you can see. So there's your RG213 cable. So this stuff is easy to take off. It's not so sticky. You can't stand it. So you can easily get in and out of it anytime you want. You could put a cap. And a couple other items on the same note that I have here for you is called Plum Quick by Fernco. It's a flexible pipe connector hose, and I'm going to hold it up here. You can see you've got a little bit of a clamp, and it's made out of rubber. So what you do is you take your handy-dandy little knife, like so. I'm not going to actually cut
little
this
little knife.
But you can cut your slits in there for your cable. And then this is something you can cap off later on for the winter, or let's say you're going away for vacation. It's a summer home, whatnot. But that's the 4-inch variety. So it's 3 inches is 76 millimeters, and the 4-inch variety is 101 millimeters. But here's the little one for 3-inch if you don't have that many wires. But once again, you just take and slice what you need to pull your cables through, and you're set. But they still mentioned they thought the steel wool was a good idea because the critters, the mice, just don't like to eat through the steel to get to your cables in case they did manage to break through all that. But these were just some little extra add-ons that everybody might enjoy doing. Just another option, shall we say. So going back over to the questions, guys, we have some questions. A comment first for Don Wilbanks from one of our viewers I saw in the chat room. It was really funny. He says, "Sleep is a poor substitute for caffeine anyway." He says he was all caffeined up. So forget the sleep. Caffeine works better. And that one's for you, Don. And then... we had some other questions carried over from last week's show, and I didn't want to miss some of those, and that was from KD RJS, I believe. He says, if you want to wait till next week to use it, he said, could you just ask, does just about any modern ham radio display the info on a monitor like George had set up, or is that a specific feature? You know how he has, like, it's not really a pan adapter, but it shows some sort of monitor. Is that radio specific, Bob, or can anybody get that?
Oh, most of the radios today have a video out. George, what were you using that on? Which radio did you have that your monitor connected to?
And he's saying the ICOM 7000.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, ICOM 7000.
There's the audio.
Yeah, well, almost all these radios today will do that, and it's a simple thing. Connectors in the back, plug it in, and there you are, Cheryl.
Okay, great, and thank you for that answer. And we had a comment for Gordo. It looks like you're going to be down in Oceanside this Saturday night. Is that true, Gordo?
That is true. We're at a Preppers for Emergency Preparation Fair in Oceanside, Oceanside Boulevard, north of the 5 freeway. And we look forward to seeing everybody this Saturday, where we're going to be showing off ham radio to the general public, because we need more hams, especially those that live so close to San Onofre nuclear reactor that is soon to come back up online.
That's so true. And George, we had N3HQB. Bill asked, what kind of AM transmitter is that you've got there?
I don't have an AM transmitter yet. I'm supposed to be picking one up this summer, and that's going to be a Collins 20V3.
Oh, thanks. So I guess he had a premonition of you having an AM transmitter anyway. So very good. Excellent. Someone mentioned KC7SDA Art. He says, if you make it out of PVC, don't pump it over 80 PSI, based on one of your what you stated earlier. Is that true, George?
I don't know anything about the PSI. I think Jim said don't put over 3 or 4 squirts of that final net in there.
Yeah, I bet not. And one last thing. This is the final question that I've got from Randy, N4RMT. He asks, I thought the reason that they were triangular and that there were so many notches was that they could self-seat. It's some sort of nut or something. Does that ring a bell, George?
I'm sorry, but no, I don't know the answer to that.
No, right. I wouldn't think that's true at all. It's exactly what George showed you, that you can fit that down in there and make sure it makes a very good ground. If they were just two pieces together, they wouldn't make the good bite that the little tips would make into the groove. It's almost a male-female connector then. No. I'm sure that's why, because you get a very solid, determined ground situation when you tighten that all down. Because like George told you, if you wiggle the back of that and it's not down in there right, it'll come loose. So you got to make sure. But that's really why they're there, I do believe.
Yeah, well, if they weren't there and you turned your cable, you would actually unscrew the connector. So, it's a necessary thing.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to make one more comment about grounding in general, especially field day or any other time, electrical or RF. You should have a single point of ground and not do daisy chaining off of that. Just kind of a single point of ground, not multiple grounds, to prevent ground loops in general. And don't forget your duct seal. Here's the little device one cool. more time.
There you go.
And all the other cables. And David tried to put that together for me. So it looked pretty easy for me to handle tonight. And I thank you for that. So have a great night and come back and visit us at our new time slot. That's our day. It's Wednesday. It's still going to be the same actual time. So Wednesday, July the 11th, come back and watch Ham Nation. Thanks for coming on by.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Cheryl, for watching that chat room tonight. And greetings to everybody in the chat room. I have to answer one question. Somebody asked me about, have I grown up yet? Nope. I haven't grown up yet because I don't know what I want to do when I get big. But I'm working on it. Oh, goodness. We're having too much fun, and I hope you're enjoying it with us. I hope you tell everybody that you know of the new day. We've got so much going on. I got a really nice thing from George W1LSB and Nick Tusa. There was an incredible historical thing happened a couple of weeks ago. We're going to cover that for you, where the father of single sideband, Wes Shum, he's 91 or 92, still going strong. They had a great turnout for him at his home, and we're going to see a bunch of his Central Electronics gear. So we'll have that coming up for you, so be watching. And last but not least, thanks to everybody for tuning in, and we're going to take the 0781, put it over onto radio, and talk to you guys on 7268, where Bill is, and Mike is on 14268, and we'll be looking for you there. Gordon, really good to see all your stuff tonight, and that talented guy you got sitting there beside you. My goodness, how wonderful it is to have Julian with us. So you guys have fun down there, okay? And keep the fresh air machine running, all right?
We will. And Julian, now that he's married, is so much happier. All right, 73. We've got more videos for you soon, and we'll see you all 2 weeks from tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, that's right. George? Have fun, man. We'll talk to you on probably 75 meters after a while or somewhere. So.
Well, my radios are still in the box, so I won't be on for another week or so. But 7-3, Bob, okay. We'll catch you on Skype or somewhere between now and the next show.
We will. Okay. Thanks, George. And greetings to everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Be here on the 11th when we're going to have our new day. We appreciate everybody in Petaluma to put this together. Talk to you much later. And now we're going to hear Joe Walsh in the theme for all of those who get to hear the replay. Bye-bye for now. 7-3-K9-EID from our second home in Springfield, Missouri.